Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 13, The Dynasty of Maharajini, Text Number 9. Yasya yogam navanchanti
Yasya yogam navanchanti
Viyoga vaya kattara
Viyoga vaya kattara
Bhajanti charanam bhujam
Bhajanti charanam bhujam
Munayo hari medasaha
Munayo hari medasaha
Yasya
Yasya
with the body.
With the body.
Yogam.
Yogam.
Contact.
Contact.
Na.
Na.
Do not.
Do not.
Vanchanti.
Vanchanti.
Yani's desire.
Yani's desire.
Viyogabhaya katraha.
Viyogabhaya katraha.
Being afraid of giving up the body again.
Being afraid of giving up the body again.
Bhajanti,
bhajanti,
offer transcendental loving service.
Offer transcendental loving service.
Charanam bhojam,
charanam bhojam,
to the lotus feet of the Lord.
To the lotus feet of the Lord.
Munaya,
munaya,
great saintly persons.
Great saintly persons.
Hari Medasa,
Hari Medasa,
whose intelligence is always absorbed. In thoughts of Hari,
in thoughts of Hari,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation. Maharaj Nimi continued. Mayavadis generally want freedom from accepting a material body because they fear having to give it up again. But devotees whose intelligence is always filled with the service of the Lord are unafraid. Indeed, they take advantage of the body to render transcendental loving service. Purport. Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept a material body, which would be a cause of bondage, because he was a devotee. He wanted a body by which he could render devotional service to the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Janmayodi mori chiryavitora bhakti griya jani janma haumura kita janme ayata tuyadas. My Lord, if you want me to take birth and accept a material body again, kindly do me this favor. Allow me to take birth in the home of your servant, your devotee. I do not mind being born there even as an insignificant creature like an insect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisa kamaye mama janmari janmari swaray bhavatat bhakti rahaiti ki twayi. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife or fruit of activities desired in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. Success step 4. By saying life after life, jamani jamani fare, the Lord referred not to an ordinary birth, but a birth in which to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a body is desired. A devotee does not think like yogis and jnanis. We want to refuse a material body, become one with the impersonal Brahman effulgence. A devotee does not like this idea. On the contrary, he will accept any material body, material or spiritual, for he wants to serve the Lord. This is real liberation. If one has a strong desire to serve the Lord, even if he accepts a material body, there is no cause of anxiety, since a devotee, even in a material body, is a liberated soul. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person, even in the material world, even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. The desire to serve the Lord establishes one as liberated in any condition of life, whether in a spiritual body or a material body. In the spiritual body, the devotee becomes a direct associate of the Lord, but even though a devotee may superficially appear to be in the material body, he's always liberated and engaged in the same duties of service to the Lord as a devotee in Vaikuntha Loka. There's no distinction. It is said, Sadhu Jiva Raman Rava, whether a devotee is alive or dead, his only concern is to serve the Lord. Chakta Deyam Punarjanma Naiti Mammeti. When he gives up his body, he goes directly to become an associate of the Lord and serve him, although he does the same thing, even in a material body in the material world. For a devotee, there is no pain, pleasure, or material perfection. One may argue at the time of death, a devotee also suffers because of giving up this material body. But in this connection, the example may be given that a cat carries a mouth in its mouth and also carries a kitten in its mouth. Both the mouth and the kitten are carried in the same mouth, but the perception of the mouth is different than that of the kitten. When a devotee gives up his body, Chaktadeyam, he is ready to go back home, back to God. Thus his perception is certainly different from that of a person being taken away by Yamaraj for punishment. A person whose intelligence is always concentrated upon the service of the Lord is unafraid of accepting a material body, whereas a non-devotee having no engagement in the service of the Lord is very much afraid of accepting a material body or giving up this present one. Therefore, we should follow the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama janmani janmani swaye bhavatat bhakti rahita kitai. It doesn't matter whether we accept a material or a spiritual body. Our only ambition should be to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer is very nice. My Lord, if you want me to take birth and accept a material body again, kindly do me this favor. Allow me to take birth in the home of your servant, your devotee. I do not mind being born there, even as an insignificant creature like an insect. So, I thought I liked it because it sort of makes us aware of the insects that are around in our homes. That these insects are actually very fortunate that somehow or other they're in a house where the holy name is being chanted. In a house where the crumbs that are lying around anywhere on the floor or in any corner are prasadam. So in this way these insects are greatly blessed and get a chance to continue their devotional service. So therefore they are even fortunate insects. So we should not look upon them as the enemy. Of course it doesn't mean that the cockroaches necessarily can live in my bedroom. I nicely throw them out when I catch them upstairs. But still, they're also devotees. They're also somehow or other engaged in devotional service. So even when we see cockroaches or other types of insects, living on in a devotee place is auspicious. In New Govardhan you have huge lizards with muscles like you know, they look like bodybuilders, right? But even they are devotees, right? Somehow or other, living on a devotee farm, they hear the holy name. Whatever sinful activities that they have committed for becoming a lizard, at the same time they also did something, they did some devotional service before. But it was only minute. Therefore they got the reactions of their sinful activities and became a lizard and yet got the mercy. We remember the story of King Riga, who somehow or other was giving away cows in charities to the brahmanas, and somehow or other one cow wandered back into the herd. I mean, to where it came from. The cow did it on its own, attached to the place. So, subsequently, the brahmanas came. What happened was he gave the same cow then twice. First he gave it to one brahmana, but the cow walked back. Then he gave it again to another brahmana. And then both of these brahmanas came and he said, first Brahmana said, I want my cow. The second Brahmana said, I want my cow. And the king said, oh, what can I do? Please forgive me. But somehow or other this cow walked back. So he said to the second Brahmana, I will compensate you. I'll give you 100,000 cows, golden hoofs, golden horns, and everything with ornaments, you know, to replace that one cow. And the Brahmana said, no, I want my cow. Then what could the king do? And the brahmanas both left. They were both very dissatisfied. They wanted their cow. So now what to do? So at the end of his life, the king came before Yamaraj and he was asked what he wanted first, the results of his pious activities or the results of his impious activities. So he said, okay, I take the result of my impious first, and that's out of the way. So then he was transformed into a lizard that lived in a well. Of course, it happened to be in a good place, because it happened to be a well that was there somewhere in Dwarka, I guess, where Krishna's sons lived. And Krishna's sons found this lizard in the well, and they tried to get him out, and they couldn't do it. So then, you know, the parents, they have to fulfill the desires of the children. So Krishna did it. And he used, his arm just became very long and reached the bottom of the well, and he just picked up that lizard, and the arm became short again. Put the lizard down. That was easy for Krishna. Anyway, it is very interesting that King Rika was a devotee and yet had to appear as a lizard. So from this, so when we see animals like mice and all these things, they're also devotees. In Vrindavan, we have the monkeys, and the monkeys are intense creatures, you know, especially people with glasses, they know, beware of monkeys. Or, you know, lunchtime, you know, if you walk around with some fruits, watch out, monkey may jump on you. So we have a net over the temple to keep the monkeys out, but a tree is growing there also, and the tree had grown to the net, and there was a hole which we didn't know. So there was a feast being served in the temple, and everyone took prasadam, and it sort of started to empty out. Only the slow eaters were still left. Everyone else was finished. And then suddenly this monkey comes down into the temple, and the monkey went up to the mats. In India we sit in rows, you know, they serve on the plate while you sit, it's proper. So suddenly the monkey came in, and the monkey sat down on the mat in front of an empty plate. What to do? So I was in charge, so I said, feed that monkey. What to do? He came for prasadam. So they gave the monkey a plate of prasadam, and the monkey nicely ate everything, and then went back up. Who was that monkey? Now, you just think about that. So like this, we can appreciate that all living beings are either pious, impious, or even transcendental. Even trees, that is described, there are pious trees and impious trees. You impious tree. Have you ever thought of it like that? Yes, of a pious tree. A pious tree is a fruit tree. An impious tree is like nothing growing on it, you know, just thorns. It's impious trees. You know, what have they done in their last life to become a tree with thorns? You thorn tree. That's an impious tree. You can see. Interesting, no? Because we don't look upon a tree as something you just cut it down when you need wood. You know? You burn it, you know, it's warm in the winter. A tree, you know, it's a tree. But now, through Bhagavatam, we can see pious trees, impious trees, like that. So, I like this point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's verse from the song, and I thought I should highlight. Just highlight it for the moment. Then I'll move on. And I'll go to the main point that Srila Prabhupada highlights throughout the purport, and of course that was also there relating to the verse, is that a Vaishnava is not concerned about going back to Godhead. A Vaishnava whether taking birth in a material body or taking birth in a spiritual body, as long as a Vaishnava can engage in devotional service. That is the desire. Nadanam na janam makim karam natsinasundari. Yes. Not interested in anything material. Just jamni jamni sway bhavatavati. Birth after birth, to be engaged in your service, here or wherever you like. Swarga apavarka narakesu abiturya darsinaha. Whether you send me to hell, whether you send me to the heavenly planets, abiturya darsinaha, we remain equipoised, still fixed in your service. When Lord Nityananda goes into the liquor store, then he goes there to preach. And so liquor stores are part of hell, if you didn't know. But that's what they're part of. But so many people are voluntarily walking into hell. No problem. But Nityananda, he also walks in there voluntarily. But he's not affected. He goes there to give the mercy. So in this way, it is about being fixed in devotional service. And that is really the essence. And all right, it is not immediately possible to become fearless of death. Doesn't go that quick. It is not possible to just chant Hare Krishna and become a liberated soul. It doesn't work like that. It's about investing every day, investing in devotional service. In the morning, you can be full of good intention. Today, I'm really going to offer my day to Krishna. In the evening, you do take an account and you look and you see, it didn't work out as well as I had planned, but anyway, try again tomorrow. And tomorrow again, I'm going to offer this day to Krishna. It is as simple as that. It's not going to happen automatically. It's not about, okay, I'm going to chant 16 rounds, I'm going to do this and this and this. That's all right, that we do, and that is part of offering our day to Krishna. But what else can we do? We have to take the opportunities to invest, to invest in devotional service. Someone who says, I had no time to read, didn't invest in reading. I'm sure he had time to read the mail. And if you can't find time to read mail, you can read it during Bhagavatam class. Teasing me. But there is always that opportunity to somehow or other read. You can read at least one verse and one purport every night before taking rest. Or in the morning when you get up. It is possible to just say, okay, first thing I do is after I come out of the bathroom, this, that, tilak and all, then read one verse, one purport. It's just my, it's what I do. Right? It's what I do every day. I just do that. And if you do it every day, after a while, the power of that one verse will be amazing. You read it early in the morning and you'll see how it will affect you throughout the day. You think of it. It comes back into the mind somewhere, just especially early in the morning when the mind is very fresh. That's when these things reoccur in our mind. Whatever we take up in the morning, it's just stronger effect. Because the mind is still empty and fresh in the day. There's so much garbage in the mind already. And Like sleeping is basically clearing the garbage of the mind. So besides resting the body, right? But we dream. We dream like anything, because all the garbage that's went into the mind and the old garbage that is in the mind, it all comes out tonight. And then, you know, okay, we clear it out. So throw this out, throw that out. So the dream is liberating us from so many of these, so much luggage that we have picked up on the way. And that's why Prabhupada said, gives the example, you dream of someone's talking about gold, right? And you hear a whole discussion about gold. Then later you drive and you see, and there's a mountain. And at night you dream of a golden mountain. So it just combines it all these impressions into some, into a dream. Just to relieve us from all these things. Of course, there are other dreams also. Krishna can also use dreams if he wants to. He can send you a message. He can appear. That may also happen. But will we understand it? People come all the time and say, Swamiji, I had this dream and I don't know what it means. I don't know either. you know, you can buy yourself a dream book and download it for free. You know, explain your dreams, PDF. There it is. Google it. You know, that's a Google question, not a Guru question. There are many Google questions, you know, and that's fine. But a spiritual master is telling you that don't bother with these material dreams. No need to analyze them and turn them over and sort of dig into them and try to understand them. No need to look at the lines in your palms and to see how many children will I have. The little lines here show the marriages. How many marriages will I have? Just up here, under the little finger. Oh my God. To look at small lines. Anyway, what to do? So, palmistry, and we can think, oh yes, interested. Astrology, the stars, what will they tell me? Anyway, don't worry about it. Just serve Krishna. Invest in Krishna. So when we leave out all the unnecessary things, then there is time. So we must invest. I'm not saying, you know, live like, go into the forest, live in a cave, renounce everything. No need. We already live in a concrete jungle, in a cave, right, called apartment or a home. So in that way, no need to change cave. That's fine. Wherever you are, sthanam sthiti shruti gatam tam vanamanabir, stay where you are, unless it is a sinful place. If it's a sinful place, and your home, and you cannot change that, then leave it immediately. Leave it. Don't go back after this lecture. Don't go back. One man came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started to give this lecture about surrendering. And he gave a whole, and giving your life to Krishna. So the whole lecture was just going on. At the end of the lecture, he said to one man, so you agree? Huh? You agree that you should surrender to Krishna? You agree? Yes?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes. You agree that you should give your whole life to Krishna?
Yes.
Very good. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, then there's no need to go home. No need to go home. You can just stay here. Just stay here. And then he says, no, but you know, but I have a ticket. He's thinking of an excuse and he's something to say. I have a ticket. I already bought the ticket. Just throw it away. They didn't know what to say anymore. So sometimes the sadhu can confront us, and suddenly we see, oh, I don't have a real reason to go. I only have so many material attachments which force me to go out there. I have to do all these things. You don't have to do anything. You know? I have to do so many things. No, you don't understand. I have no time. No time for devotional service. Yeah, I understand. You have all the time. Yeah? It's just that we've committed to so many things because we want. And then, each thing leads to another. So no problem, we're not saying that you must now suddenly give up everything. All we're saying is, invest in devotional service. Invest every day. Try and look for opportunities, create opportunities to do devotional service every day. Because that will make the difference in the end between a favorable birth or a birth of entanglement. Srila Prabhupada in the purport begins to explain that for a devotee, the end of life looks very different than for the non-devotee. For the non-devotee, death is something people don't even like to talk about. As soon as you say death, everyone is like, oh my God. What are you talking about now? Whereas for devotees, it's not such a big deal. We have the example of Dhruva Maharaj. And in Bhagavatam, it explained how when Dhruva Maharaj, when it was time to give up the body, a Vaikuntha plane appeared, a transcendental plane. And it said that it landed on the ground before Dhruva Maharaj. And said, and then death also appeared. And then death offered obeisances. And Dhruva Maharaj, he used death by stepping on the head of death as a little step to get into the plane. Simple as that. So death became an opportunity rather than like, oh my God, now I'm losing everything. See the dramatic effect for a moment. So, whereas a devotee sees Krishna, now I'm going before Krishna, you see. Now I'm going before Krishna. And because my whole life I've invested in devotional service, why worry? Why would we worry when we've invested in devotional service? But when we did not invest in devotional service and we invested in other things, then we worry a bit. Then we worry. Then we start sweating and think, oh. So it's like that. We simply invest, you see. It all comes back. Everything you've done, it all comes back. At the end. Everything. Nothing is written off. That. Unless Krishna wants to write it off. That is there. It's like, I give the example, sometimes you go to a stingy restaurant. I don't know if you ever went to a restaurant and if you went to a stingy restaurant. But a stingy restaurant, you get the menu cards and you look at it and you place your order. And you place some of this and some of that. And okay, here it is. Then when they bring it out, it's nothing. Such small plates, you know. And you look here, this is not going to be enough. Yeah? What do you do now? And you're hungry by then, and you've ordered. So you're going to order something extra. Right? And then when that comes, even that is still as a blessing. Oh, God, this restaurant, it's too much. And you order something more. Then in the end, the bill comes. right? And it's an outrageous bill. And so like, we, you know, this is outrageous, you know. We didn't have all these things. We didn't have all these things. But the waiter says, yes, you did. See, it came on this plate. It came in that bowl. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the karma is like that also. There is a bill and everything goes on there. And we said, I never did that. I never stole anything. And then it goes, yes, you did when you were 7 years old. Yes, you did when you were like 13 years old. Yes, you did yesterday. It's all there. Everything. That book. But that wasn't stealing. I just borrowed it. You never gave it back. It's on the list. Everything is on the list in this way. So we'd be surprised what's on the list. But devotional service takes things off the list. It takes things off the list. Then it attracts Krishna's mercy. And then Krishna says, oh, okay, take this off, take that off. Discount, you know. All right. Pay some diminished reaction. This you don't pay at all. This is on the house. So in this way, devotional service is giving us immediate, measurable benefit, even in a material sense. What? Because really, we just look at the short-term result. We look at the short-term result of our actions. Oh, I'm getting all these good things. Look at the karma. Look at the long-term result, you know. For a while in India, on every car, they had to put some slogan, you know, something car, right? You know, this is a pleasure car. There's always a slogan, but something with a car was on there. And I'd say, you should put the slogan, this is my karma. You know, you're driving around with your karma, you're making your karma if you're driving in your car. It happened to me in Australia that I was driving on the dirt and there comes a rabbit. Boom. And I avoid the rabbit. And then rabbit number two, I guess. It's a couple. And the second one runs right into the side of the car. Because it just follows the first one. And, you know, so many times. And so like on this dirt road, rabbits, 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 rabbits. What to do? Bird. All the insects on your windshield. You gotta maybe clean the windshield now. Cord. All these things. All karma. Devotional service clears all that, so we should look long-term. I don't want to give a scary lecture, you know, what's your karma? But I want to sort of give a lecture from, we should think of the long-term and invest in the long-term. If you want to make this life safalya, successful, then invest in the long term, it says. Shreyam Acharanam Sada. Then always act for the eternal benefit. That's what it means. Devotional service. So, all right. You know, I have no time for devotional service. I have to work. No, you wanted it. You wanted that expensive house and with that big mortgage. So then, now you have to work. And you want it. All these things. Fine. So now starts. Sometimes we have to adjust. Some people say, I have no time for spiritual life. Then my lecture is like about somehow or other create time for spiritual life. Then some say, yeah, but I really don't have time for spiritual life. Then change your life. Then change. Move out of the house where you live. Sell it. Get rid of the thing. It's killing you. That house is your enemy. Like that. You know, that big dream house. Maybe it's just ruining your life. Did you ever think of that? That nice, big, comfy, huge house. Maybe that is the problem in your life. Because maybe, because it eats up all your money, all your time, everything, you're living for the house. And you become so attached, in your next life you'll be a mouse in the same house. Have you thought about all these things? Long-term vision. So, yeah, invest in the long-term, in devotional service. And everything, then at the end of life, the result of all our actions will be, we can just face Krishna. You understand? Stand, if you're never peaceful, then when you have to face death, no anxiety. Because you know, now I'm meeting Krishna. And it's very simple. Then I'll just be at ease. But if nothing was done for Krishna, so I knew about Krishna, but I never really served him because I was too busy with all my other important things, you know, so many important things. Then what's going to happen? Then at the end of life, you'll be filled with fear. And that even counts for devotees. What to speak for the non-devotees? So we should think like this. That's basically, it's not that this is what Kidambakananda Swami said, this is basically a summary of what the verse and the purport expect. I stayed quite close in I only explained what was already written there and expanded a little bit. So, any questions, any comments?
I do have questions. I'm not as knowledgeable as these people are. I have read Gita once, about Gita.
Yeah.
And my understanding was that based on the karma, one has to face the consequences.
Yeah.
I did not know that by doing the devotional services, it can reduce.
Yeah.
So, in which particular verse does it say that there will be reduction in the negative reactions?
Yes. For example, in Bhagavatam, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudev Parayana Agam Dumvanti Krasnena Niharam Ivabhaskara, which means if you engage in devotional service, this will destroy all the karma just like fog dissipates with the sun. Now, that verse that I just quoted is part in the sixth canto of the narration between Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadev Goswami, and they are about to discuss the life of Ajamil. You know the life of, you know about Ajamil. Ajamil was a brahmana who fell down, who one day gave up everything and got involved in a sinful life with a prostitute and so many things. And then, but he had done some pious things, so he got some benefits. Anyway, there, this whole thing is discussed at length in the sixth canto, how to get free from karma and what we can do. And it explains that there are ways. Karma is not only something we have to suffer, but there is atonement, prayaschita. So through this atonement, I'm getting pain in my neck all the time looking, so I'm going to look like this now. Atonement is something that can also diminish karma. So yajna, danas, and tapas. One, also Bhagavad Gita says yajna, danas, tapas, chaiva, pavaninam, anisinam. It purifies when you do yajna, when you do give charity, when you are performing austerity. These things purify from karma. But not enough, because the root cause remains in the heart. You diminish some karma, you give charity. You go to some temple, you give some charity. Good, you get purified. But the root of material desire will still stay. Now it says also in Bhagavad Gita, at the end, what is the conclusion of the Gita? The most important verse at the end is Sarva Dharman Parichayamamekam Saranam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papevyo Mokshyavijyam Masucham. And what does it mean? It means this. Sarva Dharman Parichaya. Everything all your dharmas, all your occupations, all your duties, abandon them. Just surrender unto me. Namekam saranam. Take shelter of me. And then, ahamkam sarvapapevyo, I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions, your karma. Moksha isyami masucha. In this way you will be liberated. Do not fear. Liberated from karma. See? So that's the conclusion of the Gita. So it's not just a verse. At the very conclusion of the Gita is saying, just surrender unto me and you'll be liberated from all this karma. Whereas through yakyadanas and tapas, you can partially purify some karma, but you cannot fully remove it. You can improve it a little bit. So therefore surrender to Krishna is recommended in the Gita. Yes.
Maharaj, I understand that...
I'm deaf.
Okay. I understand that we're constantly generating karma, even unknowingly. So, what happens, and devotional service is important in that regard, obviously, but what happens when, in the course of your occupational duty, you are unknowingly performing actions that go against devotee ethics, for example?
Yeah, say you're a nurse and you have to give out non-veg items to people because and you don't like it, but it's your job. What are you going to do? And you also like to be a nurse because it's your nature to nurse people, and it's a good thing in a way. So now we should just stop working and hide in a closet and lock the closet from the inside so that, you know, and hope that there are not too many living entities with you in the closet for several reasons, and one is that you don't kill anyone. No karma. It's not realistic. So Bhagavad Gita also points out that every work is covered by some fault, and that still we should not refrain from our duty. So if in the course of duty there is some fault in the work, it can be done. Still, one might think about this, you know, like still this giving out of meat as an example is not nice. And now that I'm a devotee, I really like to change, you know. Maybe I can become another type of medical person, you know? Do that little course, you know, that gives me that little change and become a I don't know, you know, assist in the surgery or whatever. In other words, you can't just say, well, every work is covered by some fault and now I'm a devotee, what can I do? No, you have to try and improve it and get out of it. So make it better, because, yeah, it is a bit, you know, if you have to give out meat, it's not like very, very nice. Yeah, as a devotee. So you cannot be callous. Every work is called a passion fault. But yet, there is that cause that we should not stop our duties.
Maharaj, I'd like to ask
there were devotees in Fiji, very wealthy, and they had supermarkets. They were not all vegetarian. But they were the people that came forward and really helped Prabhupada to push forward Krishna consciousness. Some devotee, and Prabhupada immediately initiated and said, but the supermarkets, you know, they have supermarkets. Don't worry about it. You know, because you can see that they're doing devotional service. Now these things will be gradually purified. So we have that responsibility. To make it completely pure. As pure as we can. And when you're in devotional service, then that protects you. It protects you. See, like I gave the example of the car and the rabbits. I was a devotee when that happened, but can you do? And you drive a car, such things do happen. And it's like, because a car is a murderous machine. Now, should I stop using cars? No. Use them for Krishna. So then one is protected. You have to speak loud.
I just wanted to clarify. So now we're talking about actual goal with devotional service.
Is our actual goal devotional
service?
Yes. 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 In our movement, devotional service is really the essence. Going back to Godhead, right? Srila Prabhupada, unlike the other acharyas, Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much going back to Godhead. And we don't see that anywhere else. That's really Prabhupada. He came out with his magazine, Back to Godhead, and you have to go back to Godhead. Because Prabhupada could see that he needs to motivate people to get into spiritual life. So he put a lot of, we are not motivated. And so, okay, back to Godhead. Yeah, that sounds actually good. Okay, it gives us that motivation. But then, once we are really fixed up, then behind it comes this next verse, right? Like the sixth. It doesn't matter whether I go back to Godhead or here, you know, birth after birth in devotional service. So that's interesting. So, but Prabhupada again and again told us, yes, no, we should develop a desire to go back to Godhead. Because we don't have. It's, you know, like one of my disciples said, I don't know if I want to go back to the spiritual world. I don't know anybody there. And that's like kind of, maybe that's a simple one. But we have to develop that desire. So first we hear about the spiritual world. Yes, I want to go there. But then, anyway, it's up to Krishna. And then it says one may take birth again in the material world, but continue in devotional service, right? Life after life in devotional service. But Krishna still, after some time, takes the devotee back, because Krishna knows that in the heart of hearts, the devotee desires to be with him. Therefore, he'll take us back to Godhead anyway, even if we pray. But sometimes he may engage someone for another life in the material world. Like that. Yeah, a devotional service. That is what we want. That's what we're after. Devotional service. Where is devotional service? Yes. I'm deaf, I told you.
So you spoke about reading?
Spoke about reading.
And how like, so many nice things come to mind when we read for a continuous period of time. But then the mind again gets covered by the garbage. So what if you are not able to come out of the garbage?
Sometimes you have these... Did everyone hear the question? It's like... devotional service purifies the mind's filled with garbage, and what if you're not able to clear all the garbage? Right? Yeah, sometimes you have these homes, you know, where garbage has piled up for like years, right? And the garbage has never been moved for years, and someone lives in there with some sort of mental issue, and, you know, some strange smells start to come out of the house, and the police goes in there and they find all the garbage. You hear these stories. So that happens. If you never take out the garbage, yeah, then all kinds of strange things start to come out of you. So that's not a good idea. Therefore, sapta parechanisnatam brahmani upasamasrayam. It says we have to bathe in transcendental sound every day. Just as for the body, we would be have to take bath every day. You can't say, I don't, why do you want me to take bath? I already took bath yesterday. It doesn't mean I have to take every day. No, same with sapta parichanisnatam. Nisantan means bathing every day in transcendental sun. Like that. Okay, it's the last one because it's getting late. Can I explain the distinction between devotional service and pious activities? Chaitanya Charitamrita is giving three categories of pious activities. It is said there's karma unmukhi sukriti, there is moksha unmukhi sukriti, and bhakti unmukhi sukriti. Sukriti means spiritual benefit. So there's benefit which karma unmukhi in the realm of karma, which gives you good material results. So you do pious activities like you make, traditionally they say, you make a well, you make a shelter for people, you give to the poor, these kind of things are pious, and they give you good karma. They give you some good material. So next life, it comes back. It said if you give to a brahmana, right, it comes back manifold. If you give to a narayana parayana, one who is absorbed in the wish of narayana, it comes back unlimited. So give donations to devotees and you become rich in your next life. So give to the temple. Put money in the donation box because you're going to get really wealthy in your next life. So after this lecture, you can take advantage, you know, of the opportunity, and don't leave the temple without putting something in there, because you'll be stinking rich in your next life, and you may have to have a next life. So you know, it's nothing bad in putting a little in the box, you know, investment in your future, right? More than an old age plan, you know, in this temple. We're running a new birth plan. It's right in that box. Yeah? Okay. So, in this way, we can somehow or other engage in such pious activity. Moksha Mukhi Sukriti is where you get involved with knowledge. And where you are, and you spend time with knowledge, and therefore it is fixing in your consciousness a mood of desiring liberation. That is moksha mukhi. Bhakti unmukhi sukriti, or piety, that is the real piety, because bhakti leads to bhakti. So whatever you do in devotional service, it increases your desire to do devotional service. How do I get a desire to serve Krishna? This is my problem. I don't have enough desire. Do devotional service and your desire will awaken. But I have no desire to do devotional service. I have no devotional service. Do devotional service anyway. Because even if you have no desire, because it will give you the desire. Like this. Yes. And that's why we need Agyata Sukriti for people. Unknown spiritual benefit. And that's why we're in the streets, ching, ching, boom, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And people are looking at like they're crazy, you know, the lunatics, you know, look at them. It's a cult. And we just go through the city and everyone makes spiritual advancement. Even the lady that puts her fingers in her ears when we walk past, we chant a little louder. And somehow or other, all these people get the benefit. Whatever they do, if they give one donation for Krishna to a Vaishnava, they will get unknown spiritual benefit. So it's very powerful. One last story and then I finished. We were in Rotterdam, and Rotterdam is in the Netherlands, and it's a befitting name because it's a rotten place. It's a huge port, you know, so the air is all bad because of the port. There's oil refineries and all these things, so that's misery. And in the Second World War, they bombed the place to pieces, and after the Second World War, they rebuilt it, and it's all these horrible concrete buildings. That's a terrible place. And it's not surprising then that it's filled with junkies, drug addicts. So we were on a program there, and we're going by bus because it's the easiest way. Because the bus lane, it goes much quicker than by car. So we went by bus. We stood at the bus stop, and this junkie comes. He says, "Hey man, hey man, give me something. Hey man, give me." So I live in India, and for a long time, and in India you learn how to deal with beggars, right? So I just made cold face, no eye contact, and just move my head. Always works, right? Anywhere in the world. Gone, you know? The beggar was gone. So I got rid of him. Right? Then I had this new bhakta with me, and he called him back. Oh my God, my lucky day to be out with a new bhakta. The bhakta is back. And then he says, "Wait, wait, I've got something for you." He pulls, at his evening time, he pulls out a brown piece of apple from breakfast. Prasadam. He holds it up in the air. He says, "Look, prasadam." And the junkie is looking at like, what's going on here? And the bhakta, very convinced, says, "Open your mouth." And he shoves it in. Took the apple, and he just gave him human birth. By taking prasadam, he was saved from an animal birth. We can advertise like this. Practice bhakti yoga for two weeks and give out human birth. Yeah? So there you go. Okay, thank you very much. And don't forget, you know, your future birth plan.